Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Thank you for joining us today. This week, we're continuing to share with you some special broadcasts that Brother Copeland and Brother Savelle recorded together as a tribute to our ministry friend, Dr. Jerry Savelle. For 55 years, Brother Savelle faithfully served the body of Christ by teaching them how to walk in the blessing and favor of God. We want to share that message with you in honor of his life's work. If you've missed any of the last week's broadcasts, you can watch them on our website, kcm.org, or on KCM's Roku channel. Today, position yourself to receive and activate the blessing of the Lord as Brother Copeland and Brother Savelle teach us about the good life that God has planned from the beginning just for you.
Join me again today in welcoming Brother Jerry Savelle to this broadcast.
Thank you,
Jerry,
sir.
We had a great time last week, man.
We did.
It's still just going over and over and over. He loads me up. I got up this morning and said, I'm loaded.
Amen.
I really did. First thing I thought of when I got up today.
Praise God.
Let's go back over there to that scripture in Psalm 68, where you started us off last week. Well, this was our scripture all week long.
Right.
In that 19th verse, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Glory to God. Man, it did it again.
That just stirs me
on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shows God's will that He's not holding back from us. Mm-hmm. We've not been receiving is the problem.
Right.
It's never been with Him. It's never been Him holding back, saying, well, I'm going to teach you something, you dummy. You're going to stay sick for another 10 years. That's just man-made dumb religion.
Right.
Very dumb idea to think God would even be that kind. Mm-hmm. Now, two things come to my mind, and then I want you to just drop the hammer on this thing, because something good going to happen here today. Number one, Jesus said, in praying, give us this day, today, yeah. this day, our daily bread.
Right.
Okay, now let's combine this scripture with what he said. Mm-hmm. Give us our daily load, Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. I got my truck open here. Load her up today.
Yeah. Get
right. And then James, Jesus' half-brother, raised in the household with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Had very unique perspective of Jesus compared to anybody else. And he said, Every good gift comes down from God.
That's right.
Never let any man say, when he's tempted of God, because God brings no evil to any man.
That's right.
Isn't that what Jesus
That's
said?
Right. Yeah.
Deliver us from evil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're supposed to be taking that every day, expecting every day my daily load of good things coming from God.
Yeah. Religion has lied to us, obviously.
All these years.
And so many of God's people are still living under that lie. And they think what we're saying here sounds far-fetched, but not experiencing something from God every day sounds far-fetched to me.
Yeah.
Because from the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, as you know, every time God created something, immediately afterwards it says, and it was good.
It was good.
And it was good. Now, that's before he even created man. Everything he created, it was good. Now, he had man in mind when he created all this. So when he created Adam and Eve, he already created everything that they were to be involved in and to partake of and called it good. So he is saying that his original intention was that life be good for humanity.
Jerry, that's good.
That now, life
that
be
with,
good.
Put that back with what James said.
Yeah.
Every good thing comes down. Well, the first thing that came down was God. Yeah. I mean, he created all that. He said, oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, that's good. He didn't do any bad. What, on what day did he create cancer? I mean, that didn't happen till the curse came
right.
in.
That's
this was good as long as
I
God had
him
anything to do
back.
With it.
Now, he's doing all this, but he's got man in mind.
Yeah.
And I can just I can just see him standing there creating all this beauty and saying, oh, Adam's going to like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, my boy's going to like this.
He's going to like this.
Yeah, they're going to
everything
like
he did was good.
They're going to like this.
He wanted them to have a good life. In fact, let me read something to you from Ephesians chapter 2.
I really like
this. This is from the Amplified Version, Ephesians 2:10. And it says, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live.
Isn't
now, from the
good.
Foundation of the earth, God had the good life in mind for mankind. He never intended for us to know one thing about sickness and disease because it didn't exist. He never intended for us to know anything about poverty, lack, or want because it didn't exist. He never intended for us to know anything about the curse because the curse didn't exist. Everything he made was good. I preached a sermon down at Stanmore's church in Miami not too long ago. And I just called it, if it ain't good, it ain't God.
you know what? Jerry, I just saw something when you were reading that scripture there in Ephesians. The Word says, in place after place after place, that He planned these before the foundation of the world. He planned our paths.
Mm-hmm.
He has a plan. And he had it all laid out perfectly in his heart and in his mind. He had this plan for this man that would be born in Shreveport, Louisiana, called Jerry Savelle. And he had all of this plan throughout eternity. And here's these first few years, very few years, mm-hmm. shortest time of all of our lives is spent on these first years here on the earth.
Yeah.
But it laid the base for everything. That he said, now, Jerry's going to like this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Jerry's going to like this. Now, he knows exactly what Jerry's going to like. He put the like in you.
Yeah.
He created you. You were born to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was born to sing. I knew I was born to fly.
Yeah.
I knew that when I was just a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't put it in those terms. It was just there all the time in my life. And then later, very young, I'd make that kind of statement, you know. Man, I was just born to do this.
Yeah.
And I was in a little variety show one time at school. And I'll tell you, and I walked out of the house that evening to go, and Daddy was ready to take us on. And I said, Daddy, this is what I was born to do. Well, I didn't know about preaching yet.
Yeah, right.
But I couldn't reconcile that. I know I'm supposed to fly. Mm-hmm. I know I'm supposed to sing.
Well, preaching looked like it interfered with what you
were doing. Yeah, now how am I supposed to get all this worked out? But see, God already knew all those things were in me. And when I started following His plan,
mm-hmm.
when I started following His way, saying His words, thinking His thoughts after Him, here come the flying, here come the singing, here come the preaching, all of it. And He says, yeah, I told you you're going to like that.
Yeah. You know, when I finally surrendered my life to the Lord in 1969, at the time I owned a paint and body shop, and that was my dream as a kid because that's what my dad did. And I watched my dad work for all those dealerships and take his expertise and make somebody else rich. I said, Daddy, teach me what you know, and I want to put all that in my own business and make me rich, you know. And so my dad had wanted to be in business for himself as far back as I can remember, but he never was quite able to achieve that. So he worked for all those dealerships. Well, by the time I was 21 years old, I owned my own business. And I'm doing exactly what my daddy had always dreamed of doing all of his life. Well, obviously, he was very proud of me. You know, I had my own business. I'm following in his footsteps as far as painting bodywork and building hot rods and racing cars and all that. And I knew I was called to preach from 11 years old. Watching Oral Roberts on television, I heard the call to preach. But that was interfering with my dream. There's no way am I going to surrender to this preaching business. I already know what I'm going to do. I've known that since I was a little boy.
Let me plug something in right there. You'd been lied to about the preaching.
Yeah, well, that's the
you
reason
had
I didn't
the wrong.
Want it.
You didn't. No.
See, watching preachers is what kept me from wanting to do that.
Yes, sir.
And when you're running from God, Satan will see to it, and you don't want to preach, he'll see to it that all the worst preachers cross your path.
Oh, yeah.
The cons.
Every time of day.
You know, and that's all I saw. And I remember even when Carol and I first married, and she knew I was called, and she's praying I'd surrender my life to the Lord. And I said, Carolyn, if that's the way you want me to be, forget it. You know, because I saw the cons.
That's the way I was.
And I've said jokingly, but yet at the same time, I was serious. I was a sinner, but I was an honest sinner. My daddy and my grandpa taught me integrity and keep your word. And I thought, boy, if I ever go into ministry, I'll have to become a con artist, you know. So that was not anything I wanted to do. But you changed that when you came in 1969.
Oh,
and Carolyn went to all them services, come home every day. I'd come home from my shop with Bondo dust from head to toe and grease all over me, and she'd say, if you'll come to this meeting, I promise you he's not like all the rest. I'd say, Carolyn, you've said that about 17 preachers, and you lied 17 times, you know. She said, I'm telling you, I've been in this all my life, and I've never heard anything like this man preaches. He's not like all the rest. He's not like those that you've been exposed to before. And she begged me to come. And I went the last night you were there. And it was the first time I didn't see a preacher bawl and squall over the offering, tell sad stories, make us all cry and feel sorry for him till we gave everything we had, you know. And you just laid it out there, and I'll never forget your closing remarks. You said, you closed your Bible, you said, if you believe it, it'll work. If you don't, it won't. Good night. And I thought, man, John Wayne in the pulpit, you know, that's what I needed. But right after you left, I surrendered my life to the Lord. Now, here I was with this paint body shop. My dad's proud of me. I've accomplished something that he'd never been able to achieve. And now I'm about to give this thing up to go into the ministry. And I went down to my mom and dad's house to tell them. And I thought, when I told them, I sat there in the living room with them. I said, Mom, Dad, I want to tell you something's happened to me. And I said, I'm shutting my business down, and I'm going into the ministry full time. I thought I was going to have to pick them both off the floor. Shock. They never heard me say anything like that before. I'll never forget what my mother said. She looked at me and she said, well, son, that doesn't surprise me. I said, why doesn't it surprise you? She said, well, I've never told you this, but when you were born, your daddy's mother held you in her arms about 20 minutes after you were born and looked up at your daddy and me and said, this boy will preach.
Praise
and
God.
They never told me that story. I never knew that. And so they weren't surprised. Now, I can just see God saying, I got him there. I got him on the path. You know, David said, teach me the path of life. Well, God already had this path laid out. Now, I'm going this way, and God's going this way. And eventually, I got on that path. And then when I got in the Word and began to discover the kind of life that's on that path, my Lord, why would you ever want to get off the path? He said, I love this, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, one time I was meditating on that, and The Lord reminded me of when my first grandchild was born. Mark James, you know Mark James. Sure. You've known him since he's born.
Yeah.
And when Jerry Ann gave birth to Mark James, I held him in my arms and I looked down at him. I said, Mark James, I just want you to know, son, you picked the right family to be born
yes,
into.
Yes, sir.
I said, your grandfather and your grandmother are extremely blessed and highly favored. And as soon as I leave this hospital, I'm going to see my accountant and I'm going to set up for you a trust fund. And I'm going to contribute to that trust fund faithfully every month. And by the time you're 18, 21 years old, I'm going to have prearranged for you the good life. Now, he can't even focus yet. He don't even know who I am, but he don't have to know. The good life is already being prearranged for him. Now, at 1 year old, he still don't know what a trust fund is. But it exists.
It's there.
It's there, even yes, though he don't even know what it means. He don't know how to tap into it, but it's there. Now, at 3 years old, he's calling me wanting to know how much interest this earns and when do I get it.
That's funny.
And now, when he turned 18 years old, now see, my mom and dad didn't know to do these things. But at 18 years old,
They didn't know they could.
No. But when he turned 18 years old, his trust fund provided him a brand new car paid for. The good life had been prearranged for him. Now, that's what God has done for us. We're
yes,
his kids.
Have.
And God has established a trust fund for us.
Yes.
And everything
yes,
we'll ever yes, need, yes. everything we'll ever desire, and everything that'll bring enjoyment and happiness to our life is in that.
Think about, you know, I hadn't put this together until while you were talking there. Think about how you and I actually met.
Yeah.
Now, if this wasn't, this, I just see the smile on God's face. One of the tires, the tire tread on my car, and by this time I had a decent car. It wasn't that old wreck that I started out with the few
well,
years
had that
before.
69 Pontiac.
Yeah, I had a nice Bonneville Pontiac that time. But the tread came off the tire and just like to rip the fender off that car.
Yeah.
Man, I met Jerry Savelle and I said, hey, bud, come here and look at my car. I need you to fix a fender on my car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that the very thing that Jerry did so well, the way God put us together, was for him to do his touch on that car, and he did, brother. I'm telling you, you couldn't tell that car had ever been anything but brand new. And it didn't take him any time to fix it. He just went out there and said, yeah, he had nothing to it.
Yeah.
And ripped in there and fixed my car.
Well, let me back up in that story, because this is all part of that plan, God getting me on the path. When I came in that last night you were there, and I came home from my shop, Carolyn said, Brother Copeland is going to be here one more night. Tonight's the last night. Now, she'd been in every service.
Yeah.
And she said, here's two things that got me to go that night, because I was not going, you know. And she said, if you'll go tonight and you don't like him, I will never ask you to go to another preaching meeting as long as we live. I said, now that's the deal I've been waiting for. I said, if I don't like him, I'll never have to go again. I'll never ask you to go again. I said, okay, I'm going. And I said, now, what is this guy's name again? She said, Kenneth Copeland. I said, I know who that is. She said, how would you know who Kenneth Copeland is? I said, well, back in 1957, he had a hit record on the radio called The Pledge of Love. She said, that's not him. I said, does he sing? She said, yes. I said, well, can't rock and roll people get saved? She said, well, yeah, but that's not him. Now, I'm going to that service for two reasons. Number one, if I don't like you, I don't ever have to go to another meeting. Number two, I want to prove her wrong. I'd like to be right one time.
At least once. You know?
I said, when that meeting's over with, I'm going to go up and ask him if he's the same Kenneth Copeland who was on the radio. Because I remember the song. I knew the words to it. I even sung it to her, you know. And she said, it's not the same Kenneth Copeland. Well, I got to that service that night, And yeah, I heard things I'd never heard before. And I'm kind of right out on the edge of my chair now. But then right in the middle of your sermon, you stopped and said, in 1957, I had a hit record on the radio called The Pledge of Love. And it was going places, and Mama's praying it wouldn't work, you know, because she knew I was called to preach. I turned to Carol and I said, see there, I told you. Now, God used that to get me further out on the edge of my chair, because now I'm hanging on to every word you said. And then when you left town the next day is when I surrendered my life to the Lord.
Praise
now,
God.
That's not a coincidence.
No, none of it's
coincidence. None of that's a coincidence.
No,
that's
no,
that
no.
path that God had, and he's trying to get me on. He'd been trying to get me on it all my life. If I had known, if anybody had preached to me what you preached that night when I was 11 years old, when I heard the call, I'd have surrendered
I'd have
my life
it.
Right then.
Yeah, I would have done that.
But I never heard anything like that. All I ever heard, God going to get you. God don't like you. You're ugly. You're a sinner. You know, and even the people that got saved were still calling themselves old sinners saved by grace. And I thought, well, does any of this really work? How can you be a sinner and saved by grace at the same time? But that's all I ever heard. But if I'd have heard good news like you were preaching that night when I was 11 years old, when I heard the call, I would have jumped right in the middle of it right then. But here it was years later. But God had already prearranged this good life for Jerry Savelle, and he was not going to give up until I got on that path.
God is always nudging you towards that.
Yeah.
He's always there moving you toward that high road, man,
yeah.
that good path, the thing he's planning. When he had you in mind, he said, yeah, she's going to like this.
Yeah,
he's going to like this.
Yeah.
You wait and see, they're going to like this. But the devil has got you struggling against it because of all of the lies he's put forth, particularly in traditional religion,
mm-hmm.
that does not report much of anything good,
yeah.
as far as the way somebody in the world sees things. But even when you're in the world and you see the real thing,
mm-hmm.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you this morning and we give you praise. And we thank you that this building once more for one whole week will be a sanctuary for people from all over the world. And we thank you today that this building is full of the Holy Ghost and power from on high. And we praise you and we honor you today. And we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here to pray for you. If you need prayer for something in your life, we have trained and licensed prayer ministers who are filled with God's love, standing by to pray with you in faith and according to God's word. Just give us a call at 817-852-6000 and let us help you receive God's promises into your life.
How do you have a vision for your future when you just need to get through today? When the dreams you once had seem out of reach, is there a way to rebuild? The Bible says that God has only good plans for you, that His goodness and mercy are coming after you. It's when you begin to understand His goodness that you can begin to receive it. Get the Goodness of God MP3 series by Gloria Copeland and grow your capacity to see the love, prosperity, healing, all the good things of God in your life.
God is good. There's not anything that is more faith-building than to know the Father and to know His goodness.
When it seems like the world around you is being torn apart, you can remain firm in hope. Become a living, walking example of the love that God has poured out to mankind. As you join your faith in God's promises with steadfastness to stand on His word, there's nothing that can stop His blessing from taking over your life. Order your free copy of the Goodness of God MP3 series by Gloria Copeland. The motivation of God's heart is His love for you, Receive all the benefits that God desires to pour out on you through His goodness. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible tells us that everything God made was good. God created this world for mankind, His special creation. He wanted mankind to live in a world that was filled with nothing but His goodness. God's will for man has not changed. He still wants to show us His goodness today. The way to receive from His goodness is by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what God has to say. The Copelands have an excellent gift to help you build your faith to receive the goodness God has planned for you. It's an audio teaching called The Goodness of God. The Bible says that God is love. One of the ways that He shows His love to you is by showering you with His goodness. Join Mrs. Gloria Copeland as she takes you through the scriptures that proves God's love for you. Let your trust in God become strong as you hear His words of love to you over and over again. Your faith in God's love will be strengthened, and you'll be able to receive all the good things He's planned for you. You can start experiencing the goodness of God today. To request your free copy of this teaching as an MP3 disc or a digital download, go to kcm.org. Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow as Brother Copeland and Brother Savelle explain that the good life is a manifestation of God's love to you. This is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we sure love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Let the Word of God build your faith. Kenneth Copeland calls kcm.org your study center. You can watch, read, and share faith-based content and teaching resources available to you free.
KCBC is where I built a solid faith foundation before I started my career.
With our busy schedules, finding a college with a close community and shared values was so important to us.
And we found it here.
At KCBC, I renewed my identity in Christ. I got a second chance and found my purpose.
I discovered my calling here at KCBC.
Immerse yourself in a community of family and faith here at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Through practical and classroom education, get equipped with what you need for your next steps in life and ministry with faith, integrity, and excellence. Get hands-on ministry and outreach opportunities, discover new gifts and talents, and learn biblical education from seasoned instructors. Kenneth Copeland Bible College is here to help you find clarity of purpose in your life and ministry. Find your purpose, discover your calling. For more information, go to kcbiblecollege.org.